Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Greg Pickle here with you, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. All about Penn State, Michigan to start things off this week. Lions escape Beaver Stadium with a 28-21 win. I say escape, and I think that's an accurate way of depicting it. Michigan had the momentum for a lot of the second half, a lot of the second quarter. Penn State did enough to win the game, so we'll break down everything that unfolded there. We'll also hear from James Franklin. He's speaking on some of the key issues in that game, some of the key questions that, you know, in at least one of these cases we've had all year long in the running back question. So we addressed that as well. So, Greg, I guess the big question, 28-21, they win. They had to hold on for dear life after they built this 21-0 lead. I think a lot of people, and not necessarily wrongly so, are focusing on how they had to clutch onto this win as opposed to putting this game away early. What's your thoughts just in terms of glass half full, glass half empty in a win like this?
Well, I think glass half empty would be, you call it an escape, but Penn State put the shackles on itself. I mean, that's what I think the most frustrating part of watching that game was. Just, you get up big early, and you did pretty much, you know, we talked about it last week. What were the keys to the game? Don't be overamped for the start. Get some points on the board early, and then make Michigan play from behind and make Shea Patterson beat you. And he played just like Kenny Pickett did, probably the game of the season that he's going to play. I mean, I don't think you're going to see a better effort out of him. And it wasn't enough in the end, which is a testament to Penn State being able to build that early lead and then hold on to make sure that they stay unbeaten in the end. But I think glass half full is the idea that sometimes against very good conference opponents, they're not going to walk away and just give up like you think they should. They're going to make it a game. Certainly this one was a game. And, you know, your glass half full is that yet again, you found a way to beat a very good team, a ranked team for the second week in a row. You didn't rely necessarily on a gluttony of big plays. You got a couple that really propelled you to victory, and you're undefeated going into Michigan State, which is not something a lot of people picked going into this season. So I think that's the glass half full way of looking at it, but there's obviously some things to clean up here. The offense going stagnant is now officially a problem. You know, before, yeah, I think you could find some ways to explain it away. I don't know what those explanations would be at this point, though. I mean, there's just too many drives that are three plays or less that result in next to nothing, and if Blake Gilligan doesn't boom a big punt, you're not even flipping field position. So that's something they got to get cleaned up. I think it's more an execution issue than it is a Ricky Ronnie issue. Now, the Noah Cain stuff, I'm sure we'll get into, but I just think it comes down to there were plays in that game where the players were put in the best position possible to pick up first downs, to move the sticks, etc., and they didn't always follow through on those opportunities. So, you know, ultimately, it is kind of funny. I guess it's good if you're a Penn State fan that a win over a Michigan team, a top 25 team, is being discussed this way, because that means the expectations and the bar are raised pretty high.
I think that's 100% true. And I always just find it funny, just with college football fans in general, the spectrum goes from coach has to be fired to being entitled. And there's very little room in between. Either the coach needs to go or 7-0 isn't good enough. And I do understand, you know, because it's part of a bigger picture here. If you look at the way they started against Buffalo, if you will look at the way, you know, they played against Pitt, although that, you know, I think the Pitt game, just like the Michigan game very well could, the opponent is probably better than you're giving them credit for. And as you mentioned, Michigan is never going to be the team that just goes away. Iowa as well, you know, you wanted to see more. You want to see your offense not disappear. Fast start was good enough, and execution maybe. I also think that the sense of urgency whenever you're up 21-0, that can dissipate some, and I don't know whether that's coaching or players or whatever, but 21 was never going to be enough against Michigan, and it turned out to be that way too. James Franklin, I like what he said. It was helpful to me to understand in a different way the challenge of playing against a Don Brown defense, because they're going to force you to try to do that. They're going to make it very, very hard to stay on schedule and drive the field. You know, where Iowa, they want you to try to go 15 plays for 85 yards and score a touchdown. Michigan makes it almost impossible to do that. So the emphasis on the big play, it's something that maybe Penn State took some criticism before, but this was the avenue to beating Michigan. They made them early. They just missed on a couple of others. We could be looking at this game a little bit differently if, you know, what was it, Jahan Dotson makes a catch, if that's not just out of his reach. If they connect on a couple more of these, it's a little different ball game. But this was part of the approach and maybe one of the situations where you can't fault Penn State for taking a bunch of shots.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think that the same thing goes for the Iowa game. I mean, there were a few shots there that could have put that game away too, if it was just the ball was thrown a little bit better, the play design was a little bit better, whatever. So yeah, I mean, there's opportunities there to close out games, but at some point it just isn't acceptable to get a lead and then just coast to victory, and that's pretty much what Penn State did in this one until the fourth quarter score.
Nobody was in the huddle saying let's coast now. Nobody
well, sure,
was,
right,
but I think that lead and that the mindset changes. I think that's true.
Yeah, I think that when you get up and you're in that situation and you know that they're not a very good offense on the other side and they're probably not going to score a lot of points, I just think it's a young team and it's a mental block where it's just hard to continuously go. And then I think with Ricky Ronnie, there's just times where he just picks the wrong plays or he picks the wrong set of plays, and it just feels like everything is on autopilot a little bit. So that's one of the things they have to get cleaned up, you know, not using Noah Kane more. I've given up hope on getting a logical, reasonable explanation from James Franklin about why Noah Kane does not see the field more. Clearly there's a reason for it. Clearly he doesn't want to share it in a public space. So it just is what it is at this point. I don't know if the questions about it are going to go away, but I think the answer is certainly not going to change.
Well, I mean, first of all, the questions are not going to go away. Also, the answers aren't going to change. If they haven't by now, I don't think they're ever going to. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Our friends there have a lot to offer for any home weekend to take in a Penn State football game. We call it the ultimate tailgating experience because everything is taken care of for you and you don't have to stop tailgating at all. Friday through Sunday, show up before the traffic hits. You can leave after the traffic dissipates. You get a shuttle ride to and from Beaver Stadium. You can tailgate in their Lion's Den lot, luxurious, awesome RVs. There's all kinds of different options and features to choose from. I just think it beats the hotel experience by a wide margin, and that's not even getting into taking the logistics out of it for you. All you got to do is show up there with all your, you know, all your supplies. And by the way, 409 Tailgate Club is there in the lot. If you don't have the barbecue supplies that you need or whatever, everything is taken care of for you. GoPSURV.com. Get in on it before the season ends. In this game, Greg, Michigan 26-14 in first downs. 417 yards of offense to 283 for Penn State. 82 plays, and this was the big one for me, I think. 82 plays run to 54 for Penn State. And there have been a few games this year where that play discrepancy is there. And I think in general, Penn State doesn't care about that so much. But when you're talking about third and fourth quarters against a physical team, an offensive line for Michigan that, you know, I was looking for them to have more struggles than they did against Penn State's front. And I think that's more of a credit to Michigan than anything else. But a physical offense, it's going to wear on you. And it's hard to be on the field for 28 more plays than your offense was. It's hard to be thrown right back out there after, a long Michigan drive and then a quick three and out on your front. That's a hard thing, I'm sure, mentally to wrap your head around. But I just don't know if over the course of a season running 30 fewer plays than your opponent is a very good thing.
It is for now, because they're not they have yet to face and may not face an offense that is capable
of. It's a Big Ten for you.
Right. I mean, it is the Big Ten. It's exactly why, if you look around the country at the bowl projections, which at this point Penn State is almost universally set to go to the Rose Bowl at this moment in time. That would, of course, would assume Ohio State gets into the college football playoff. That assumes Wisconsin loses to Ohio State, which would give them two losses. That assumes Penn State loses to nobody but Ohio State, right. And that would leave them as the best team left in the Big Ten. So that's obviously a long ways down the road, but it's not until they play Ohio State that they're going to face an offense capable of putting up points in bunches if you continuously give them the ball back. And Penn State's defense still might be good enough to be up to the task of stopping Ohio State, but I don't know if you can go into a lull against a team like that and be okay. They've been able to so far.
So James Franklin was asked after this game, just while we're on the subject of Ohio State, for example, about the pass rush and how it wasn't getting home. And the same was true. You mentioned Kenny Pickett from Pitt. Shea Patterson, slippery guys. I don't know what it was, what it is about them, or whether they deserve credit, or the pass rush just isn't getting there. If they're having a hard time making plays on Kenny Pickett and on Shea Patterson, Justin Fields is going to be a real handful for these guys. At the same time, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, at the same time, the personality of these Ohio State-Penn State games, I know there's different guys on the Ohio State side. I mean, they're different players, obviously, different coaching staff on the Ohio State sideline. I think that's going to be a close game, and I think Penn State's going to – I don't think Penn State's going to get blown out at all. I think they just have a way of playing Ohio State close, even on the road. But it's just going to come down to somebody making a big play late in that game. It's going to come down to if Penn State were to somehow build a lead, avoid the same mistake. And I think that's the frustration here for Michigan. It's speaking to a bigger trend of not being able to put games away, not your offense disappearing for long stretches at a time. But at the same time, Penn State is 7-0. They pitched one game was close to a perfect game, I think, and that's against Maryland. But that Maryland team, not up to snuff in terms of talent, also pretty dysfunctional when it came to penalties and getting organized and adjusting back. Michigan was a team that adjusted back. Penn State didn't have an answer for that. We'll see if they're able to kind of evolve and do a better job of those things, you know, going into the meat of the schedule here.
Yeah, I mean, they were 2-3, right? So before the season, this was the stretch that was circled: at Iowa, home with Michigan, at Michigan State. If you got through that, you had a chance to do something really special, Dustin. For all the things that we're talking about that went wrong, there's been a whole heck of a lot of things that have certainly went right, and that's led us to this point where they are unbeaten and have a chance to sweep this three-game set before the bye week, and then, you know, anything can happen in November.
It'll come down to one game. And by the way, we spent, I guess this is maybe glass half empty, but it's
realistic. Was a little of both.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll focus on the positives in this game, because there definitely were some, starting with number one for Penn State. Stick around.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.